Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight for our midweek Bible study. I wish we could all be together, but I'm thankful for the technology that allows us to be together in this way. We are going to be in 2 Timothy tonight as we study through the book of 2 Timothy. We're in chapter number 3, verses 16 and 17. We looked at verses 10 through 15 last time, and we're picking up verse 16 and 17 as a separate message tonight as Paul gives Timothy the tool for what he needs to face what he's facing in these perilous times, and that is the Word of God. So I want to speak to you tonight about Scripture. So as you find your place there in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, let me remind you that on Sunday, we're hopeful to be able to gather together, but the parking lot is still frozen over here, so we will be letting you know as it goes. Worst case, we'll just have a live stream again like we did this past week, but we'll have word coming out to you. Well, let's start with a word of prayer, and I trust you'll have prayer there in your homes, several prayer requests and prayer needs that we have in our church. Let's pray together and ask God to bless this time of study in the Word. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come together through technology tonight. Lord, as we take your Word through the internet and out to every home that's tuning in, we ask for your blessing upon this time as we study the Scriptures. Please work in each home. May we all become more and more devoted to you through the Word and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are in special need right now. We just ask for your blessing upon each and every one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. As we finish these final words of chapter number 3, Paul speaks here of Scripture. He talks about the giving of Scripture and the goal of Scripture. And I want those to be our two headings as we consider verses 16 and 17. Let's look together at God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We begin in verse number 16 with the giving of Scripture. As Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. The power of the Bible, the power that it has to change a person, the authority of the Bible, the authority it has to demand our obedience. All of this, the power, the authority, all that the Scripture is, resides in the fact that all Scripture is God-breathed. It is given by inspiration. And when we speak of inspiration, we're not talking about I had a good idea, and so I decided to do something, or I saw someone else do it, and it inspired me to want to do it as well. What we mean by this is God literally spoke His Word down to the earth through the Holy Spirit. Spurgeon writes here, about scriptural truth, there is a strange, mysterious unction that does not attend to the teachings of most learned of men. I cannot explain to you what this unction is, but every child of God knows it. And certainly we know he speaks of the Holy Spirit illuminating Scripture to us. Well, Paul says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the Bible originates with God. Admitting to God's authorship is an acceptance of his authority over every aspect of our lives. By stating that Scriptures are God-breathed, Paul established here the Bible's claim as authoritative word over all people. So it's no coincidence then that the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 verse number 1 uses inspiration as his attack on the sinlessness in the garden. He says to Eve, "Hath God said?" He questions the inspiration of the Scripture. Paul says here that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we know that the Scriptures were written by men, Peter tells us, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It puts us in mind of a sailboat being pushed along the surface of the water by the wind. Men wrote the Bible, but the words and the substance of what they wrote came from God. The Holy Spirit of God used men of God to write the Word of God. That's a quote from Warren Wiersbe. The Holy Spirit of God used men of God to write the Word of God. So God is the source. God is the ultimate author of the Scriptures. Though written by human authors, Scripture nevertheless has the full weight of God's authority. The Bible, from start to finish and down to its very words, is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. Now, knowing this helps us to understand why the Bible is useful. And that's what Paul says here. All Scripture is given. It's given by inspiration of God. And because of this, it is profitable. And he gives us four areas here where the Bible is profitable or useful. He says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, the things that are right. The Scriptures are profitable for reproof, that what is not right. The Scriptures are profitable for correction, how to get it right. And then they're profitable for instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right. Let's consider each of those. Doctrine. Scripture must be known in the heart, in the head, for people to see their need of salvation. Scripture must be known so believers can live out its instructions. We can't live out what we do not know. Then for reproof and correction, this is the disciplinary authority of Scripture. Because the Bible is God's Word, because the Bible reveals God's truth, it exercises authority over those who would deviate from its standard. Reproof. This rebuking that Paul talks about here, it points out sin and it confronts our disobedience. Correcting recognizes that a person has strayed from the truth. With Scripture, then, we graciously and lovingly, but very firmly, try to guide an errant individual back into obedience. And at times, this will even be the case in guiding ourselves if we've strayed. Paul says, then, this takes instruction in righteousness, training, which is the counterpoint to correction. The negative is, I need correction. Here's where the Bible says I'm wrong. The positive is, here's how to get right. Instruction in righteousness. MacArthur says Scripture not only rebukes wrong behavior, but also points the way back to godly living. It's a two-way street there. It's a double-sided coin. We must not leave one off for the other. Often we can become so full of the truths of God's Word that we're only ever judgmental to everyone else who is not there. At the same time, we can be so full of mercy that we don't want to bring up the truths because we don't want to hurt anyone because of where they're not. And there's a good middle line there. The Scriptures give us a positive guidance for maturing in faith and for acceptable conduct in our living. So this is the giving of Scripture. It's given by inspiration of God. Next, we see the goal of Scripture in verse number 17. Paul writes that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The goal of all of this instruction, discipline, and training is not just to keep us busy. God didn't write a complicated book and send it down to the earth and give it to us and tell us to read it all the time and make it the doctrines a little hard for us to understand simply so that we would be in awe of Him or simply so that we would have a lot to do all the time. This is not the idea. I remember in fourth grade, we practiced long division. Do you remember learning long division? And you would get to where you had two or three or even four numbers divided into two, three, four, five numbers, and it seemed like one problem would take half a page, and your teacher would send you home with 30 or 50 problems to do, and you would write a book over in one night, and it felt like the teacher was just giving you busy work. Maybe she was, I don't know, but God is not doing that here. He's trying to make us perfect. He is equipping us in this life for every good work that He would call us to do. Scripture makes us fit for God's use. To make us perfect means make us complete, put us in fit shape, to put us in fit condition for the task that He charges us to do. This is what Scripture does for us. We study the Bible. We rely upon God's Spirit. We rely upon the community of believers that we're gathered with to keep us on track, to keep us obedient and maturing in the faith. Continuing in this commitment will enable us to do whatever God causes us to do. There's nothing that God will ask of you that this Bible will not enable you to be able to do. Timothy could withstand all that Paul is talking about here in chapter 3 and chapter 2 because of the Bible. He could deal with the abandonment of professing believers. He could deal with the attacks of the false teachers. He could face the persecution that surrounded him or the potential of what might face him in the future, because God had equipped him with the task, for the task with Scripture. God never calls us to do something without first enabling us through His Spirit and the Scripture to accomplish the task He has called us to. The purpose of Bible study is not then just to understand the doctrines or just to be able to defend our faith. These are important things and they're good things. But the ultimate purpose of studying the Scriptures is the equipping of the believer who will study it. The reason we read our Bibles is so that God can equip us through the Bible alongside prayer and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to do what it is He'd have us to do. It is the Word of God that equips God's people to do the work of God. It is the Word of God that equips God's people to do the work of God. The times are not going to get better that we live in, but Christians can become better people even in these bad times. We must separate ourselves from that which is false. We must devote ourselves to that which is true. We must continue then in our study of the Word of God. Then God can equip us for ministry, and we will have the joy of seeing others come to a knowledge of the truth. We must devote ourselves fully to Scripture. We mustn't let this become a game of what we believe and what we do not believe, or what we like about the Bible or don't like about the Bible. Or we must surely never put the Scriptures up against our culture and only use it as it is fitting currently in the age in which we live. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Spurgeon said, it is not mine to make God's Word consistent, but to believe that it is so. When a text stands in the middle of the road, I drive no further. Holy Scripture is my sacred landmark, and I hear a voice that threatens me with a curse if I remove it. B.B. Warfield, the great theologian of the late 1800s at Princeton Theological Seminary, taught that the Greek term translated breathed out by God, inspired, refers to all of Scripture and not just portions of Scripture. So the entirety of the canon of Scripture, down to the individual words themselves, were given by God and therefore are entirely true. The Bible affirms no errors, and the Bible is the only infallible source of Christian doctrine. This is why Paul can say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God for these four reasons and will make us perfect, will make us fit for the task God has called us to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. May we be ever devoted to it, prepared for the task at hand, prepared for the task before us. Help us not to be lazy. Help us not to be unfit. Help us to be constantly exercising in the Word. God, renew our minds with Your Word. Enable us for the calling You've given to us. This we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake.